Oh my.
I can't wait to the day. Yeah, I knew her when she was just in our youth group. Thank you, Lydia.
Reminding us, no more tears, no more pain. I will rise. Just two other little notes I've mentioned here. I apologize for doing that right before the sermon, but on the back of your bulletin, you'll see a total to date, because we're still collecting for Alma Hunt. You're already at $1,015 of a $1,080, but we're still collecting. So we'll give you a total next week when we get there. So we're still collecting. You're with very close, very close. The other thing, the youth committee, if you're on the youth committee, you have a meeting immediately following the service to talk about some things that are coming up. We were going to meet in my office because I thought the deacons were going to take the youth room over for a meeting they're having, but they're not. So a little bit of a change. If I told you we're meeting in my office, we're not. We're meeting in the youth room immediately following this service for all youth committee members. This morning, our scripture comes from the book of James, the third chapter, verses 13 through 18. And while our sermon is about peacemaker, it is about the wisdom that you need to have in order to be one. James, the third chapter, starting in the 13th verse, reading through 18. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds and the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. The wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is a disorder in every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteous is sown in peace by those who make peace. May God add His blessing to the reading of His Word. Would you please join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come to the time that we want to understand Your words of wisdom. More importantly, Father, we want to come into a relationship with You in which You guide us, lead us, and direct us. So, Father, get me out of the way and let the words that I speak be Yours and not mine. Let my thoughts, my prayers, and my meditation bring goodness and righteousness to this place. Father, be with us now as we try our very best in our humble way to grow closer to You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I think it's been a while now, but I don't know if you remember a gentleman by the name of Fearless Felix. He's the guy, I was going to use some derogatory comment, but he's the guy that decided he would put nothing but a parachute on his back, strap a balloon to him, and go 24 miles up in the air and then jump. He succeeded in obtaining a speed, the fastest speed that a person's ever gone without any aid, 844 miles per hour. He broke the sound barrier on his way down, falling from 24 miles up. He is a man that over the years he had jumped 2,500 times, but after this time he had made the comment in an interview, that's it, that's enough. But you stop and think about what else is there to do. During the interview, I was struck personally by a comment he made. When I was standing there on top of the world, you become so humble. You do not think about breaking records anymore. You do not think about gaining scientific data. The only thing you want to do is come back alive. Sometimes we have to get really high to see how small we really are. This morning, I'm hoping to take you really high. Not to belittle you, not to beat you up, but so that you realize that we are small and that God is very, very large. And that by relying on Him and His wisdom, not only will we become smarter, but we'll become peacemakers. Most of us have never had the opportunity and never will have the opportunity to do what he did, to go up 24 miles up, have a balloon strapped to our back, jump out, break the sound barrier, tumble. But we do have one other opportunity that maybe Felix didn't have. We have the power, believe it or not, and if we pray, the wisdom to make peace with our brothers and sisters. In the past, we've learned how to be wise with our words because the tongue that we have in our mouth has the power to direct, to delight, but also to destroy. So we come to the question in James 3:13 that underlies this truth. Who is wise and understanding among you? For you see, if we say we believe it, then we better behave accordingly. Our affirmation of faith must be fleshed out in the way we act and we treat each other. Today in this country, we have more knowledge at our fingertips than ever before. A couple years ago, Google's president or CEO or whatever his title is this year, Eric Schmidt, made this statement. Every 2 days, we now create as much information as we did from the dawn of civilization to today. Every day. More knowledge, more data, more information. On this little thing that probably every one of you have in your pocket has the capability, believe it or not, to store more data than not one, not 100, but 100,000 Gemini 13s that went to the moon. 100,000 more data, more information. And that particular computer went all the way to the moon and brought man back. The amount of information that we get and are exposed to, we can't help but ask the question, with all this knowledge and information, do we think that we're any wiser now than our mothers and fathers, our grandfathers, our grandparents? The Bible's all about us becoming wise and understanding. How many of you have followed my suggestion that because there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, you read a chapter of Proverbs every day? Proverbs 1:7 gives us the key words to unlock the way to wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. The main emphasis of the entire Bible is the fear of the Lord. We seem to have forgotten that, haven't we? In this verse, we see that there are two classes of people, those who fear the Lord and the fools who don't. The beginning of the knowledge refers to the origin or the principle of this part. A fool's not just someone who is a couple bricks short of a full load, someone that the elevator doesn't go all the way to the top, not a person that's a couple fries short of a happy meal, or whatever other cliche you want to use. No, a fool is one that knows the difference but decides to do otherwise. A fool is the one who knows the right thing to do, but instead does the exact opposite. In chapter 1, 32 verse, it says, "Compliancy of fools will destroy them." The contrast between the believer and the unbeliever, the saved and the lost, the light and those who walk in darkness, is whether or not we choose to do what God has commanded us to do. Wisdom doesn't just come because you're older either, as some of us have come to realize spending time with the youth of this church. Just because you have gray hair doesn't mean you have gray matter. No, on the contrary. Wisdom is something you have to go get. Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. What we need to do is that we need to pray for wisdom. You see, our God promises us that if we ask for knowledge, it will be afforded to us. No one will be judged before giving it. Education is not enough. It's not enough just to claim to be wise or even understand something anymore. We must show it how we live. Let him show it by his good life, by his deeds done in humility that come from wisdom. To show it means to live it. In James 2:18 it says, I will show you my faith by what I do. Now don't get confused. Don't turn this like some people do. Well, you get to heaven by good works. We all know that's not the case. We get to heaven by our faith. But because of our faith, we want to do good works. That's what we want to do. That's what we desire to do. But this wisdom thing goes one step further. I told you a couple weeks ago, you can't teach what you don't know. Knowledge comes from books, but wisdom comes from the book, the one and only book. If you're not reading your Bibles daily, you have no hope of getting any wisdom. None. It's not going to come. It's not going to be injected in your arm like a vaccine, like the flu vaccine. You can't go to CVS and go, hit me with some wisdom. Doesn't work that way. You've got to read this book, and then you've got to practice what it says. The phrase good life can often be translated as a beautiful lifestyle. We all long for a beautiful lifestyle, don't we? We all want a nice car, a nice home, good kids. Well, I can tell you emphatically, you don't have to worry about the last one. You've got good kids. But you still desire the other material things. Humility is not weakness, because humility actually translates to strength under control. We confuse that sometimes, don't we? If I walk in humility, if I give in, if I try to make peace with my brother and sister, I'll be seen as being weak. No, not in God's eyes. You'll be seen as a warrior. You'll be seen as strong. You'll be seen as a wise man or woman. Why is it so difficult when it comes to wisdom? Why is it so hard for us to understand wisdom? Well, I've come to find out that wisdom actually comes from two places, and James, Pastor James, was good enough to teach us that. Wisdom comes from above, or it comes from below. There's a real difference between the two. We just have to look at the origins. First one, wisdom that comes from below comes from the verse 15, if you read verse 15. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. The triad of enemies is also called the world, the flesh, and the devil. James reminds us that the wisdom that we receive from this world is the worst possible wisdom that we can have. Our earthly wisdom is usually measured in worldly terms, is it not? It's that degree, that piece of paper you got from college, from high school, from a trade school. The unspiritual, well, it's just what feels right is that type of wisdom. It feels good, so it must be right. I must be wise by what I'm doing because it made me feel good today. Well, brother, if you did it because it makes you feel good, you're making the wrong person feel good. Or it's of the devil. James said, talked about the tongue, didn't he? And we've talked about the tongue. Is itself set on fire by hell is what James referred to. When Satan urged Eve to go against God in order to become wise as the God of this world, He continues to propagate a path that runs counter to God, and his best way through that is through our tongue. On contrast, wisdom from above, well, the wisdom that comes from heaven is every good and perfect gift from above. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. When you get wisdom from above, it operates different than from wisdom from below. It makes you act differently. Wisdom from below puts bitter envy and jealousy, selfish ambition in your hearts. It makes you deny the truth. In this age of acronyms, you've probably seen LOL or LDK. Ran across one, did I get it right? IDK. It's not my strong suit, just so you know. But I ran across one that I really wanted to share with you because I think it sums up the world. And this time I will read it as opposed to taking a guess what it is, okay? WIIFM. What's in it for me? God. Does that make your heart? Does it make your heart ache as much as it makes mine? What's in it for me? We've become a world and a society of me. We've become a society of one, me. Do it for me. What's in it for me? Wisdom from below is corrosive because it's all about me. Selfish ambition is all about getting ahead. It used to be used for politics, but it can be used for all of us now. How do we get ahead? Just so you know, you'll never hear me endorse anyone from this pulpit for political reasons. But wouldn't it be something if we could hear candidates more humility, less harpooning, actually caring about one another and talking about the issues instead of talking about what someone did 25 years ago when they were in high school or college? Wouldn't it be nice for a change? I read an article the other day about a 73-year-old insurance salesman. He was being sentenced to life in prison for murder, for killing his high school friend. It was astounding to the people of the community. It's out in South Dakota. I know I've been bringing you a lot of wisdom from the Midwest here lately, but it just was stunning that someone 73 years old, it's not like it was what's in it for them. It wasn't like it was, you know, a young person that was straying from his parents. 73-year-old retiree killed his high school friend. For 55 years, he had been harboring envy and jealousy. You see, it reverted back to when a time in high school, a high school prank was pulled on him. 55 years of hate and envy. That's wisdom from below. One day he got in his car, he drove over to his friend's house, rang the doorbell. His friend came to the door and he shot him dead. At the trial and the sentencing, he turned around and said, "Forgive me. I was wrong. I shouldn't have done it. I wish I could have turned back the hands of time." There is a way to turn back the hands of time. Make peace. You see, Eric didn't do what we're taught to do by Pastor James in his book. Pray for wisdom. And then when you think you're starting to get it, or maybe before you get it, make peace with your brothers and sisters. Because the hate, the envy, the jealousy eats you up. In the case of the 73-year-old salesman, for 55 plus years, he carried around a prank that was done in high school. He carried around to where it ate him up, and he finally took action. He went to his friend's house and killed him. Wisdom from above, though, is a little different. Instead of bitter envy and selfish ambition, biblical wisdom operates very differently. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving. Notice that the second definition of wisdom is peace-loving. It's considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Worldly wisdom crowns itself. Heavenly wisdom crucifies self, because it's not about us, it's about God. Peace-loving. Got a little checklist here for you. See how many of these qualities you measure up to about being peace-loving, being a peacemaker. Are you considerate? Are you gentle and reasonable with others? Or would people say you're harsh? Are you submissive? Are you compliant, approachable, willing to yield to others? Or do you always need to be right and have things your way? I put a star by that one for myself. My A personality sometimes gets me in trouble at home. My way, the highway. All in quick grunting from over there. It's hard. It's hard when you think you know the right thing to do. You notice I didn't say when you know you're right. Gotten a little better. But are you submissive? Are you full of mercy? Aren't we told to go? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? I'm pleased to tell you that here at this church, we do try our very best to feed them, to make them warm. I'm also proud to tell you that next month that we're going to pick up Serve as our project for WOM. And the reason that we're picking them up is because they're having a problem with having enough food. They spent $1,200 last week, just for food. And we're not talking about a third world. We're talking about your neighbors here in Stafford County. We're talking about the person that lives down the street. In fact, I'm going to challenge you. We're going to pick a Sunday in October. And we're going to call it Can Sunday. And all I'm going to ask you to do is every single one of you, every man, woman, and child, to bring a can of something, a non-perishable food item. One can. Now, if every one of us do it, by my math, that means we should have about 125, 150 cans of something down in the outreach center. That's a pretty good food drive, isn't it? Just bring one can. Certainly, every one of us, every man, woman, child can afford a five for a dollar can of green beans. Maybe a bag of rice, bag of beans. And I know it's been a while probably since it's been five for a dollar. Shows you how often I shop. I can make decisions, I just can't shop, okay? But we do make a difference. One of the other characteristics is good fruit. Are you producing good fruit? Do you see spiritual fruit in your life? Paul has a list for fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Maybe as you're going along, were you making little checks? Oh, I've got that one. I've got joy. I've got love. If you're like the rest of us, though, you probably didn't make a check by every one of them. Are you impartial? Do you treat people the same way, regardless of who they are? I see you doing the same thing, brother. Guilty too. Guilty too. Are you sincere? Would people say that you're hypocritical? Or to steal that line from a movie for children, my word is my bond. Do you say what you're going to do and then you do it? You see, wisdom, and when you attain wisdom, the peacemaking automatically comes. I'm reminded of the Tower of Babel. People of the world were leaning on worldly wisdom, weren't they? We can build a tower and get to heaven. Sounds like us, doesn't it? Sounds like us today. I can build an empire in my corporation, in my business, at my home, and get to heaven. Or better yet, when I get a little more money, I'll start to tithe. Right now, I'm just a little short, God. That's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. See, we're supposed to live our faith, aren't we? The people that tried to build the tower to heaven, God became so upset. Remember the other thing about wisdom? You got to fear the Lord because of what He might do, what He might allow. In the case of those people, He changed their understanding of their language and scattered them to the world. That wasn't a good thing. That was a bad thing. You see, that's where we're at, I think. I think that we have learned the hard way, or are learning the hard way, that we need wisdom and understanding if we want Bethel to be where it needs to go. If we want Bethel to get to where it needs to go, if we want Bethel to continue to grow, if we want Bethel to continue to be the church on the corner of this part of the county that makes a difference in the lives of our neighbors, we have to pray for wisdom. And in the process of praying for that wisdom, and as God blesses us, then we need to start exercising the peacemaking qualities that come with it. You see, we're still, in the past week or two, I was reminded that you're still hurting. That you still hurt. That you still ache from events of the past. When you called me as your pastor, the first sermon I did, I told you, you're either going to fire me or hire me. You chose to hire me, so you'll hear it again. It's time to put the past behind you. There's not a person in this room, not a person outside these four walls, not a person that takes a breath today can change the past. It's gone. It's done. Was it a mistake? I don't know. But to be honest with you, I don't care. See, our God is a God of today. Our God is a God of what you're going to do tomorrow. Our God is constantly working and moving forward, not dwelling on the good old days of Abraham. It's time for Bethel to put the hurts of the past behind you. And if you're sitting here today and you have something in your heart, bitterness, jealousy, envy, it's time to put an end to it. It's time for you to go and make peace. There was a story in the Chicago Examiner that someone gave me as an example some time ago about this very sermon. It was about a man named Harvey Havens. I'm not making the last name up, honest. He who went to bed and stayed there for 7 years. You see, he had an argument with his wife. He wanted to do something, and she didn't like the way he was doing it. And basically, he made one of these statements. See, men, if you've ever used this, all right, if that's the way you feel, I'm going to bed. I'm going to stay there for the rest of my life. I'm never going to do the dishes again. I'm never going to do the laundry again. How many of you have pink underwear, guys? Right? Okay. Did the laundry one time, never to ask to do it again, right? He stayed in bed with a blindfold around his eyes for 7 years to make a point. And I know none of the men here at Bethel have ever done that, right? How come I see all the ladies nodding their heads up and down? When he finally came to his senses, when he finally got a little bit of that wisdom, he got out of bed and he felt completely uncomfortable because that's not what he was accustomed to. Are you blinded by the bitterness that's going on in your life? Are you uncomfortable because you're here, because you know that you're not acting like a Christian and forgiving your brother or your sister for whatever in your mind is the wrong? Because most of the time, folks, the wrong is in our mind, not the person. It's what we think has been done to us. And the reality of it is, it's not that. It's the other way around. It's what we've made a small anthill into a mountain that we're trying to move. And we're trying to move it with little faith. There's three ways we can deal with conflict. They're not very good. We can ignore them, which is peace faking just for the word. Oh, everything's fine. Everything's good. Everything's honky-dory. Or we can go to peace breaking. They go into attack mode. Well, I'll just never speak to them again. That's one I really like. That's going to accomplish a lot. Those of you that are old enough to remember the Korean War, we spent a year figuring out whether or not the table at the peace talks was going to be round or square, because we wouldn't talk to the other side. All remember that? Those of you that are old enough? A year. Because we wouldn't talk to each other. Well, how many of you have gone through a weekend where you didn't talk to your spouse? I'm not talking to them. Because if I talk to them, I'm going to lose my cool. Quick run, Kathy. Makes it very difficult to do this sermon sometimes. And then, of course, there's the last one, the other choice, true peacemaking. Going to your brother and sister and going, I don't know what it is between us. And to be quite honest with you, I really don't care, because the relationship between me and my God and me and you are more important to anything that we said or did, anything that happened, anything, miscommunication. The relationship I have with my God first and with you is more important than all of that. Imagine if today, on our way out of this place, we settled any and all differences today. Imagine what we could accomplish tomorrow when we went to work. No more hurt, no more pain. I will rise. Right, Lilia? I will rise. No more tears, no more pain. I will rise because He's my King. All differences settled today. Does it mean it goes away? Well, of course not. It doesn't go away. But does it mean we focus on that? No, we don't focus on that anymore. We focus on our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. Imagine the difference Bethel would have in this community if everybody inside this community loved each other. Completely. Completely. You can do it. I know you can. Why? Why do I know? Because I've been praying for it since October 2012. That's right. Kathy and I, when we first came here, we could sense that there was still hurt. There was still pain. There's still unsettled arguments from the day we walked in the door. You know why we still came? You want to know why it was important to us to accept a calling to a part-time position? Because the relationship with our God and our relationship with you is more important than any argument. More important than anything that could possibly happen. I hope today you put that priority in your life, that your relationship with your God and your relationship with each other is more important than any past, any hurt, anything said, anything done. So tomorrow, as a community, we can go out and witness and bring those that are in darkness into the light. That's my prayer for you. Would you pray with me now? Heavenly Father, my prayer continues that no more hate, that no more bitterness, no more misunderstanding, that every brother and sister here would come into relationship with you, would come to know you. Father, I know all things are possible through you. So, Father, for those that are with us today, for that are just visiting, maybe they don't really understand why they're here today, but Father, they feel a pull to this church, that you would move them to accept your Son, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior. That you would move them to become part of this community. And that you would move them to settle any and all differences with their brothers and sisters in Christ. In these things I pray, in your Son's precious name.